Pray together. Lord, it is just what a great night as we come out to celebrate that you came, you were born in that manger, that we might have life. Lord, tonight speak to us through the songs, through the fellowship, the friends around us. Speak to us through your word, the message, through the lighting of the candles in a moment for this Advent time, Lord, reminded of the Christ child who came for us to save us from this world. Lord, we love you and we thank you now and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we have several of our young people. Macy, come on up here with me, and we have two or three others who are going to be coming over here to the candles. The last few weeks, we've been lighting the Advent candles, and you know, I got to think about the word Advent. It's the beginning of the word adventure, so we kind of had an adventure here at Christmas time and getting ready. So tonight, we will light the four candles that have led up to the Christ candle, which is the one that's lit right in the middle over there. And we think about the first four as they light those for us. The first one that we lit was a candle of hope. We were looking forward, and the Christian faith is a faith that looks forward. We don't get down in the guilt of the past. We look forward to future and hope. Peace was the next candle. Talk about a peace that passes understanding. People that see your life and say, how do you have the peace that you have in your life? The next one was joy, a joy that is unexplainable. Joy is putting Jesus first, others second, yourself third, J-O-Y. That's true joy. And then the last one we signed, lit last week was the light of love. And you think about love, that's the center of everything that we do, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Macy's going to read to us now about the last candle that's being lit.
As we light the Christ candle, celebrating the end of the Advent and the arrival of Christ and Christmas, let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby, that the world through him might be saved, and how we will return one day in glory. The true light that gives light to the world was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We may have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light to live. John 8:12.
Thank you, Macy. Let's give a big amen for these young people. Give them a hand if you want to for coming up. Thank you all for doing that tonight.
Melanie, Jason. We are blessed, are we not? We are blessed. Well, good evening, and almost Merry Christmas. Won't be long. No one wants to miss out on Christmas. I heard of the story of a little boy who wanted to make sure his dad got the message of what he wanted for Christmas, and he wanted a watch. Every day in the morning, every day when his dad got home at work, at night, it was, Dad, what I want for Christmas is a watch. Dad, I want a watch for Christmas. Dad, what is it I want? I want a watch. And finally, the dad had heard enough, and he said, listen, if I hear you ask for a watch one more time, you're not getting anything. But the boy knew his dad was forgetful. So he had to come up with a way to remind his dad just one more time what he wanted for Christmas. So they sat down for supper that night, and the little boy said, Dad, can I quote a verse of Scripture? And his dad was very impressed. He said, well, yes, son, absolutely. And the boy said, Dad, I'd like to quote for you the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 37. the verse says this: I tell you now what I told you before. Watch. I'm not kidding. Look it up. That little boy didn't want to miss Christmas. No one wants to miss out on Christmas, but it amazes me, in spite of all the Christmas hype, it is possible to go through the Christmas season and absolutely miss the reason for Christmas. So tonight on Christmas Eve, I want to share a message with you called Don't Miss Christmas. And I want to share with you some ways that we can miss Christmas, the same ways groups of people missed it in the New Testament. And then I want to share with you some ways to make sure we won't miss Christmas. First of all, let me give you some reasons why people miss Christmas. First, there was the innkeeper in the day of Jesus, and his reason for missing Christmas is he was too busy. You remember the story. There was a census being taken, and all the Jewish people had to go to Bethlehem to be counted. And Joseph and Mary were there as well. Now, she was pregnant when they made the trip, and I guess the donkey ride helped induce labor, but it was time. Matter of fact, in Luke 2:6, the Bible says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. So they went over to the inn and they said, hey, we need a room. My wife's in labor and she's going to have a baby really soon. We really, really need a room. Now, folks, I think that's a pretty good reason to give a lady a room, don't you? But the innkeeper said, I'm sorry. We have so many people in the town, visitors for the census. We don't have any room for you. But I'll tell you what. We have a barn out back, and you can take your wife out there in the stable, but I'm too busy to accommodate you. Folks, Christmas was right under this innkeeper's nose, and he missed it. He sent Mary away, and he missed the birth of Jesus. Why? He was too busy, too focused on his guests. He had too many things going on at that time. Have you ever felt like you've had too much going on at Christmas time? Be careful. You could miss Christmas. There's a second group of people who missed Christmas. Oddly enough, it was the religious leaders. They missed Christmas because they were indifferent. There were many people in Bethlehem that day where Jesus was born, but not one Jewish religious leader. Of all of those people, they did not go to Bethlehem. Remember when the wise men came at the birth of Jesus in Jerusalem, they said, we're seeking this person called Jesus. He's supposed to be born a king. Can you tell us about him? Now, King Herod, who was the appointed king from Rome, King Herod gathered all the religious leaders around him because he knew the Old Testament told about a future king of Israel. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the laws, he asked them where the Christ was going to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And they told the wise men. So the wise men went off to find Jesus in Bethlehem. But what did the religious leaders do? They stayed behind. They didn't care. They said, oh, we've got our own religion. We've got our own traditions. We've got our own rituals. And they became very indifferent to what God was doing in history at that time. So they didn't go. Do you know how far it is from Bethlehem to Jerusalem? No? I'll tell you. 5 miles. They could have walked to Christmas. But they were indifferent, and they missed it. And if we become indifferent to the real meaning of Christmas, we could miss it as well. There was a third person who missed Christmas, the first Christmas. It was King Herod himself. The reason King Herod missed it is because he was afraid. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 2, verses 2 and 3. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, you got to know a little bit about King Herod. King Herod was a lunatic. I'm not kidding. He was classic paranoid schizophrenic. I'm serious. He had his wife killed. He had two of his sons killed. Anytime he thought somebody was encroaching upon his ruler, his leadership, his rule, he had them killed. 5 days before anybody, 5 days before he died, anybody who he thought would threaten him, including the rest of his children, were killed. This guy was nuts. He really was. He was afraid. And if you are King Herod, of whom are you going to be afraid the most? The King of the Jews. Who is whom? Jesus. Remember, Herod was king of the Jews too. And he heard another king of the Jews. He was scared to death. And he missed Christmas. Some people miss Christmas today for the same reasons. They're too busy, they're too indifferent, or they're too afraid. So what steps can we take to make sure that we and people around us don't miss Christmas? Let me share a few of these with you. First of all, in order not to miss Christmas, you must make time for your spiritual life. God has made us as people. We're composed of a lot of different aspects. There's an intellectual side, an emotional side, a physical side, a sexual side, and a spiritual side. All of those components make us who we are. That's how God created us. But you know, most people today are out of balance because they want to focus on just one or two of the parts of who they are and ignore the rest. And guess what gets ignored the most? The spiritual side. We just think it's not as important. We're too busy for that. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 39, verse 6. All man's busy rushing ends in nothing. He heaps up riches for someone else to spend. Do you remember that bumper sticker that was out years ago? I still see it once in a while. It said, "I'm spending my grandchildren's inheritance." I love it. I love it. Listen, folks, you can work 40 hours a week, 60, 80 hours a week, but there will come a time when you can't take it with you. God says we need to take time and stop and check out our spiritual lives now. How is our walk with Him? Look what the antidote to this problem is of being too busy. Psalm 46, verse 10. It's a great verse. Matter of fact, this is the verse the psalm and verse that I used to preach my first full sermon here. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'm going to give you a little quiz. See if you remember. What are those two words, that first little phrase, be still? What does it mean? Let your hands hang down. So get rid of everything in your life. Take a break. Let your hands hang down and be still. And focus on God. It takes time to do that. Take stock of your spiritual life. of what Christmas is really all about once again. Why do you think the shepherds were the first ones who heard the good news from the angel? Why? The Bible says that the shepherds were watching their sheep by night. They were watching sheep sleep. Now, I've never watched a sheep sleep, but I think it goes something like this. You know why the angel came to those guys first? Because they weren't too busy. They had time to give to God. They were still. They were letting their hands hang down. My guess is if God were trying to call some of us, he might get a busy signal. Be still. Secondly, another thing we can do so we make sure we don't miss Christmas, not only should we take time for our spiritual lives, but we should also look. We should honestly investigate who Jesus is. What is Christmas all about? We need to investigate that. Matthew 2:8, the Bible says, "Go and make a careful search for the child." That's an investigation. Why do you think they call the wise men wise? It reminds me of the little boy who came home and said, "Mom, Dad, I got a part in the play." They said, "Son, what are you going to be?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to be one of those three wise guys." Why do you think they called them wise? It's because they kept an open mind to investigate what this Jesus thing was all about. They were probably, all likelihood, not Jewish people. They were spiritual, but they weren't Jewish people. But their minds were open, and they were willing to investigate. Check it out. Folks, you might need to make an investigation into your own life about who Jesus is for you now. Even if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, that's great. But every once in a while, you still need to shore up that walk, that relationship. You're saved. You're going to heaven, no doubt. But are you really walking with God? Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. God says, "You will see me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." If you are not a believer, if you're not a Christ follower, if you're not a Christian, if you've never committed your life to Christ, maybe your heart is ready to start figuring out and find out who God really is. Who is this Jesus we sing about, coming in a manger but dying on the cross? Really, what does that have to do with anything? Start thinking, start investigating. But if you're a believer, maybe you need to investigate. What is God wanting me to do? How is he wanting me to grow? What can I do in my own life, in my study life, in my witness? How can I grow and become more of the person he wants me to be? Now, folks, you don't have to have... One thing about the investigation part is you don't have to have it all figured out to make a decision about God. You don't have to have everything figured out about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about the Bible. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to know that you want what God offers you in your life. You don't have to understand it all to embrace it. You just have to know that it works. I don't know everything about internal combustion, but I drove my car here this evening. I don't know everything about the enzymes and the chemistry of digestion, but I like medium rare ribeye steak. You don't have to know it all. You just have to know that God loves you that Jesus died on the cross so your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And that Jesus wants to come in and just take control of your life, not because he's going to make your life miserable, but because he wants to make it the best that it can be. That's why Jesus came. And that leads us in to the third thing that we can do to make sure we don't miss Christmas, and that is you stop, you look, and you listen. Don't be afraid of the good news. The angel said in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel said, "Fear not, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." Notice the very first thing that they told these folks was that they should not be afraid. Why would anybody be afraid of God? Why would anybody be afraid to give their lives into his control? Because some people don't understand that God is a loving God. For the longest time in my life, I never knew that God was loving. I thought he was still trying to catch me to punish me for everything I'd done. And I deserved a pretty big punishment. Really, Jason? Wait till you sing your next song. People think they're afraid to give their lives over to God's control because they think God's just going to ruin their lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. People don't want to give their lives to God's control because, unfortunately, they think Christians are the most sour people in the world. If that's what it means to be a Christian, I can't have any fun. I just don't want any part of it. But God didn't come to steal away your fun. He came to give you the best kind of fun, the best kind of meaning in your life, the best kind of growth. People say all Christians are, they're just a bunch of people who have rules about things you can't do. I have to say, from a believer's perspective to a non-believer's perspective, there are a lot of non-believers, and I was one of them, that thought church was just a place you went to find out what you can't do anymore. I don't want to be defined as a Christian by what we can't do. I want to be defined as a Christian by what we can do, by what God can do in us, what God can do through us. It's good news, folks, good news. The Bible says you're not really free until you give Jesus control of your life. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I have come so that you may have what? Abundant life. And have it, how? To the very fullest." You don't know what living is all about until you accept Jesus as your Savior. You don't know what it's like to live out from under the weight of your guilt until you accept Jesus as your Savior, and he takes it all away. Gone. John 3:17 says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. He sent his Son into the world to save it." That's good news. We all need a Savior. Jesus didn't come to condemn us or to make us live under a burden of guilt. He came to save us and forgiveness and to take that guilt away and to free you up so you could enjoy the abundant life God wants for you. I hope you don't miss Christmas this year because you're too busy, or because you're indifferent, or because you're afraid. I hope you will embrace Christmas this year the only way you can, and that is to give Jesus complete, absolute control of your life and say, "Lord, forgive me. I ask you to come in and take control of my life. I don't understand it all, but I trust you. Just make me your child." And if you will do that, you are on the road to enjoying the best Christmas present you've ever had. And for those who are believers, it's time to dig down deep and remember what Jesus has done for us from the day he saved us up till now. And to get excited about the fact that he's not done his work yet. I hope you've already gotten your wife or your husband, your mom or dad, your kids, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, your nephews, your nieces, your boyfriends, your girlfriends. I hope you already got their presents because it's getting tight on time. I think the gas station down the road still has those 3-foot Slim Jims. They jacked the price up on them. The question for us to ask ourselves this year is, what are we going to give to Jesus? It's his birthday. You say, Pastor, doesn't Jesus already have everything? Not if he doesn't have your heart. Not if you're holding just a little bit back. Even if you're a believer, if you're just holding a little bit back, he wants it all. He wants to grow you and bless you. The greatest Christmas present you could ever give to God is yourself. I hope you'd be willing to do that so you don't miss Christmas this year. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you that you sent your Son into the world so we could have forgiveness for our sins. Jesus, thank you that you were willing to come into the world to die on a cross so our sins could be forgiven. And Holy Spirit, thank you for remaining in the world with us to love us and strengthen us and teach us and empower us and convict us. I pray tonight, Lord, that for all of us who took time to come here tonight, we would take whatever steps are necessary to make sure we don't miss any part of Christmas this year. So God, if people have never received you, they've never made a commitment to you, it's my prayer that you'll lead them to do it right now. For those who are believers, if they need to shore up their walk with you, get some things straight, I pray that they will do that right now. And for the rest of our service, whether we come down for a response time to pray or go to the cross or we take communion, make that be a time of worship where on this Christmas Eve we say thank you again, Jesus, for what you've done for us. We ask these things to you, Heavenly Father, through your name, Jesus. Amen.